Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment, where your questions and comments matter at 202-319-7810. Join the conversation.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Last Monday, we spoke about President Trump fat-shaming a man at a rally in New Hampshire. Remember this?
This guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home, start exercising. Got a bigger problem than I do. Got a bigger problem than all of us.
Remember that? Yeah. We spoke to two men who have felt the impact of fat-shaming, and they also spoke to us about how they fought the battle of extreme weight loss. Tonight, during our Medical Monday Conversation Part 2, we're talking to women now. Joyce Ryan is a yoga instructor and owner of Nappy Beauty Love.
Yeah.
There you go. She has lost 103 pounds, going from 308 pounds to 205 pounds. Caroline Gingery is an author. She's lost 155 pounds. She now weighs 145 pounds. And our medical expert for this evening is Dr. Rovinia Brock. You know her, Dr. Roe, author, nutritionist, and health and wellness coach. Well, tonight we are going to talk not only about the impact of fat shaming on our guests, but also how they did it. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You're certainly welcome to tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Caroline and Joyce, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Dr. Rowe, what's happening? How are you?
I am outstanding.
As always.
It's a pleasure to join you tonight.
Well, thank you so much. Let me first start with Joyce. Joyce, talk to me about the impact of the fat shaming, the looks, the kind of struggle that you went through personally before you started this weight loss journey.
Okay, let me start by saying no one can make you feel anything without your permission. So fat shaming for me didn't happen like people making me feel bad. I personally felt it when I went shopping and the clothes did not fit or they would look like muumuus. Mm. We, as thick women, I like to call myself, we want to look sexy and cute and gorgeous also. We don't want other outdated clothing. So that was the main thing for me with the clothing. And of course, when I work out in the gym, you show up and people are staring at you like, she's not going to do much. But once they see me work out and they're looking at what I do, they're surprised that a thick woman can lift and run and do all of that. Because don't let these thick thighs fool you, because I get down, okay?
What thick thighs are you talking about? I've not noticed. What was the moment when you said there needed to be a life change?
Well, for me, my weight gain came when my mother passed.
Okay.
My mother passed in 99, so I really didn't grieve my mother. I had to go home to Alabama, help put everything together, be there with my brothers and sisters. I'm the youngest of 14, so grieving was not my main focus. So I come back here, college, working, all of that, and I just didn't take the time to grieve. And after a while, I looked in the mirror and I saw this big thing behind me. I'm like, when did that happen? And at that point, I said, I needed to do something about my weight because of my health. You know, heart disease running my family, high blood pressure running the family, diabetes, and I didn't want that for me.
Mm-hmm. Same thing for you, Caroline. You know, 155 pounds, that is more than half of what you weigh mm-hmm. now. What was it like for you when you were at your heaviest?
So I'm a survivor of childhood obesity. My heaviest was being in the eighth grade and weighing over 300 pounds. So being that heavy, I kind of tell people that my pretty much my social ecosystem was adversely affected, meaning I had negative comments, whether it was from family, people in my community, classmates, teachers, even nurses had probably inappropriate comments about my weight. And, you know, being so young, I spent probably over 20 years of my life as morbidly obese. It absolutely adversely affected me. It led to depression. It led to low self-esteem. So it was very tough. And I come from a West Indian and African American community. And I kind of joke that within both of those communities, people don't filter or edit themselves. So throughout my life, even when I was in the eighth grade, I was hearing things like, you know, you're so fat, you're never going to find a husband, when that was probably the last thing on my mind in middle school. Or, you know, you're going to have a heart attack before you go to high school. And in some ways, people probably thought that they were helping and didn't really see the malice in their comments. But again, when I say that social ecosystem, you really have no place of peace or purpose to go with just kind of the fat shaming that you experience.
You know, it's interesting because you speak about this issue as it relates to you as a child. And as we all know, you know, growing up, we see a lot of, you know, children overweight, mm-hmm. you know, large children. But as an adult, mm-hmm. how did it impact you?
So my aha moment, or my moment of change, kind of came as a young adult. My Howard University educated dermatologist, I had some dark blotches on my skin, and I thought at the time it was something that I can just get rid of with a skin lightening cream. And these dark blotches specifically were on my neck and the cheekbone area of my face, and she told me that that condition was an indication that I was pre-diabetic.
Really?
So that was kind of, I guess that might have been my rock bottom, if not my aha moment. And it sat with me for a little while, and I decided that I want to make a change. I want to make the rest of my life the best of my life.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about extreme weight loss. Women winning the battle of the bulge. This is part two of our Medical Monday conversation. You may remember 1 week ago today, we spoke to the men. Dr. Rowe, when you hear what these two women are sharing with us about the struggles before they lost the weight, what comes to mind?
Well, you know, what comes to mind is that these, first of all, I just want to say congratulations to both of you, to Caroline and to Joyce, because, I mean, clearly, you have done a mighty thing in your own lives, and now you're doing it to help other people. So kudos to you both. What comes to mind is that they happen to be a part of a very large group. I mean, this is a community. You know, we suffer disproportionately from the diseases that run in Joyce's family, the heart disease, the hypertension, the type 2 diabetes. We suffer disproportionately from those. We call those lifestyle diseases because they're associated with the obesity that from which we also suffer disproportionately as a community. Now, it's a whole country, though, that's dealing with the obesity epidemic. But for African Americans, if you put two of us, black women in a room, one of us is going to be obese, not just overweight. You've heard me say this before. And we keep having this conversation because it continues to be a problem. But the good news is we can get ahead of this problem. And it's one that's solvable. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt deeply saddened by both their stories and that they had to get to the fix for the problem this way. But the other thing that comes to mind is that one of the things that I think people do not recognize or don't pay attention to is what they're feeling at the time that they're going through adversity. So, for example, with the loss of a parent, you know, when Joyce talked about having lost her mother and never having had time to grieve, yet she looked up looked back and wondered who that was following her back there. That's what I call it. So the point is, you know, we process our feelings with food. That's another real problem. And it's at the center of our obesity issue.
I see. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about extreme loss, part of our Medical Monday conversation. This is part two. We are talking to the women tonight. Joyce, you mentioned that you are originally from Alabama. So I can only imagine having lived there myself, all of the Southern cooking that you grew up with. What role, if any, did that culinary heredity, if I can say that, play in how you were before you lost the weight?
Well, Southern people, we love food, right? We love seasoning. We love the taste of everything. My family now, if they come visit, they go to the grocery store before they get to my house because they say I cook white.
Really?
So they think that I don't.
What do they believe that means? Because even though it's funny, I think when you're talking about healthy eating, that's a really important thing, because our history, particularly for those of us who were either raised in the South or who have parents from the South, as I do, that, yeah, there can be an issue with that beyond just what happens in the kitchen, but the impact of what happens in the kitchen.
Right. Kitchen is how we bond in the South. All the girls come in the kitchen, your parents teach you how to cook, and you're learning the history of the family, and you're learning all of that while you're making the meals. So it was important to be a part of that. And once I left Alabama and came to college here, I start to find my own way and how food should taste for me and how to bring it together. Like, I gave up beef and pork 6 years ago, and my family was like, "What in the world? What do you eat then? Like, there's no other animals besides,
right,
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and then they're like, "Are you going to be vegetarian? What's going on with you? Don't get too skinny." You hear all of that, because in the South, it's a pride thing to be thick and curvy. It's a pride thing to be like that. So when I started to lose weight and my family saw that, okay, this is good, don't lose no more. You're going to look like a crackhead. Don't lose no more weight. So, but the food is a very big part of the family. I go home for Christmas. There's probably 30 people at a Christmas dinner. I have 27 nieces and nephews, and food is all a part. We fry everything, fry chicken, fry ribs, fry ham, fry everything. Everything's fried. Yes, everything is fried. So just learning and adapting. Like, I went home and made spaghetti with turkey meat. And at first they were like, "Oh, we ain't eating that." And then they ate it and they were like, "Oh, that was good." And they think I can't cook. I'm the youngest of 14. They're like, "Oh, Joyce can't cook. We're not going to taste her food." But I made Christmas dinner 1 year with turkey wings and all types of different things, vegetables. And they actually ate it and it was actually good. So I think it's about exposure and still having your food taste good.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about extreme weight loss tonight. Our guests are women. We spoke to the men last week. If you have a comment or a question, please give us a call. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810. Jennifer, calling from Alabama. Jennifer, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Jennifer, are you there? Do we have Jennifer?
Yes,
yeah, go right ahead. Turn your radio down, please. Turn your radio down. What's on your mind?
Okay, my question is, how do you deal with weight loss when your self-esteem is kind of low?
Dr. Rowe?
Okay, so I get this question often. And see, remember when I told you that we're processing our feelings by using food? So, and the self-esteem question comes up a lot, because that's at the center of the feelings that we're having. Do you see what I mean? So I would just say, Jennifer, the first thing is to get to the point. First, you got to know if you want to deal with weight loss, if you want to lose weight, you got to know why you want to do it. And the first thing is, it has to be for you. It can't be for somebody else, because it won't stick, right? Whatever the plan is, you got to work the plan, or the plan doesn't work. But how do you, but I believe your question is, how do I work a plan if I don't feel good about myself? And I would just say to you that whatever you look like or feel like now and whatever has been said to you, don't evaluate your personage. Don't evaluate your value based on the opinions of others. Know that the way that you were created, whatever that looks like, feels like, walks like, talks like, what the way that you were created is enough. You are enough right now, today. You don't have to lose weight to be enough. If you want to do it for reasons of health, if you want to do it to feel better, to put your body in, you know, in better shape, then okay, fine, let's do that. But know from the very beginning, before you even set out to attempt to lose weight, you've got to know that you are worthy as you are right now in the body that you have, just as you are.
Interesting. Thank you so. Thank
Can
you
I
so much.
Interject?
Yes, please do.
So I was just going to add to that, to what Dr. Rose said, that it's also super important that you kind of alter the world around you and boosting your self-esteem. So that means mm-hmm. you might have to give a pink slip to some of those negative people in your life that are naysayers, and that could be family a lot of times. So you have to build just a support system around you and a supportive world, and kind of figure out the negative people that you need to purge from your life and some of that negative self-talk as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. A great point.
Dr. Rob, before you chime in, I wanted to have Joyce comment before the break. Go ahead, Joyce.
Okay. If you look at when it comes to your faith, for me, your body is your temple. And if you see yourself as God has created you and who you are, mm-hmm. there's nothing more encouraging than that. And then it takes little steps. Find something on your body that you love and you think is gorgeous. It can be your eyes, and work with that. I love my eyes. And just repeat it to yourself. And then the next week, find something else and just repeat that to yourself. This is about self-love. You have to do self-love. It's internal work, and then it's outward work.
I need Absolutely. To take a break, but before we do, I want to make sure, Dr. Rowe, how can people find you online?
EverythingRO.com. EverythingRO.com.
Okay.
Go there. I have a go and sign up. We're launching a new podcast.
Dr. Rowe, I just wanted to get your website, because I've got two other sisters in here, and I need to make sure that we get their information out before the break. Real quick, Caroline, how can people find you online?
Online, everything is at Caroline Jingory, CaroLineJhingory.
And Joyce, how can people find you on social media?
You can find me at Nappy Beauty Love on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Nappy Beauty Love.
Okay. We will be taking more of your phone calls. And as always, this information will be posted on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight, including the podcast. Stay with us. Reese calling from D.C. We're going to talk to you next. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. Stay with us. More of this conversation on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a bit.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. This is our Medical Monday conversation. This is part two of a conversation about extreme weight loss. Women who are winning the battle of the bulge. We spoke to men last week, and tonight we are talking to Joyce Ryan. She is a yoga instructor and owner of Nappy Beauty Love. She has lost 103 pounds, going from 308 to 205. Caroline Jingory, she's an author who lost 155 pounds. She now weighs 105 pounds. And our medical expert is Dr. Rovinia Brock. Dr. Rowe. She's an author, nutritionist, and health and wellness coach. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Caroline, you were about to say something.
I'm 145 pounds now. You said 105. God bless you.
Okay. what did they say? You only look a buck 05, right?
I'll take it. I will take it.
Let me go back to the phone lines real quick. Charisse calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, hello there. I want to congratulate the ladies first for just losing weight and being so transparent. And I have to be extremely transparent because I need help. I was just in line at Popeyes, and I know I don't belong there. I'm on my way to the grocery store, and I don't even know where to start as far as just getting food to get healthy. I went to the doctors, and looking at me, you would not know I am extremely overweight. You would just think that I'm overweight. But my doctor told me not only was I obese, but I'm morbidly obese, and that just did not sit well with me, and it's just time for a change, so I need help.
Charisse, let me ask you, how tall are you?
I'm 5'8".
You're 5'8", and how much do you weigh?
I will not say on the phone.
All right, Charisse. You called and you said you needed help. And the reason hold on. The reason I ask is because that's the first thing that Dr. Rowe is probably going to want to help you with.
Right after I tell her about the Popeyes.
Yeah, so and we don't know Charisse from a can of paint. So
So look at this.
Uh-huh.
I am 80 pounds overweight at 5'8".
Okay.
Okay.
Dr. Rowe, briefly, how might we help Charisse?
Can we first start with Popeyes? Because I need you to get out of the Popeyes line, Charisse. That's the first
crispy
thing.
Crack.
If you went there to try the chicken sandwich, then know that the Popeyes chicken sandwich is 690 calories, 15 grams of fat, 6 grams of saturated fat, and 1,290 milligrams of sodium. Now, if you are watching your sodium because you are hypertensive or could be on the borderline of becoming hypertensive, and at 80 pounds overweight, that could be a case, then the limit for your sodium ought to be 1,500 milligrams a day. What I'm saying to you is this is a high blood pressure stroke waiting to happen on a bun. So what I'm saying is I need you to get out of Popeyes, and I need you to start to eat whole unprocessed food to the greatest extent possible. And you can do this with Time Savers. I know everybody starves for time, so one of the reasons that people would tend to go to a fast food restaurant is because you're trying to save time or trying to save money. But you really do have to be cognizant of and super aware of the food choices that you make meal to meal, day to day.
There you go. Thank you so much, Charisse. That's a good start, and hopefully you can take you know one step at a time. And certainly you've got to make that first step though. And thank you so much for sharing with us. So about those first steps, and I'll start with Caroline. How did you lose 155 pounds?
So my first steps, I did not join a fancy, expensive gym. I'm a native Washingtonian. I grew up here in D.C. I started walking. Again, I was 300 pounds when I started this journey. I was 300 pounds, 20, 21 years old. I walked 10 minutes, 15 minutes, an hour, and built myself up. And the other thing that I did, it was advice from my doctor. He told me to cut white food out of my diet. So what that means is most of my meals became lean protein, chicken and fish, and non-starchy vegetables. So no corn and potatoes, but just walking every day, staying away from the crispy crack like Popeyes, the weight really started to come off and I stayed motivated. And just one weird thing that I did that kept me motivated, I would buy a really, really cute outfit in like two sizes too small and keep that as my motivation to kind of work my way in that. But I think one of the biggest things is that people think, oh, I don't have time, I don't have money to join a gym. Walking is free. Everyone lives somewhere, so walk somewhere at work, maybe take the stairs instead of the elevator, walk to get a salad instead of, again, that crispy crack at Popeyes. And it's just little steps. Build yourself up. Start out with that 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. And, yeah, you could do it.
How long did it take?
It took me, I often joke that it took me a year to lose the weight and learn how to keep it off, because I kind of lost the weight within almost 8 months, and I thought I was cute and I can go back to eating whatever I wanted. And the universe and God showed me that it didn't work that way.
What do you mean by that?
So I pretty much thought that, you know, I lost the weight, I'm cute, I'm feeling good, I can just go back to eating, I don't have to work out like a crazy person as much, and then the weight started to say, hey, I'm back. So I had to I had to come up with some balance, that I still wanted to enjoy some of the foods that I like, but I had to learn to enjoy them in moderation, and I had to make exercise. So exercise and healthy eating is a regimented part of my life, like getting up every day, taking a shower, or when I get up every day and call my mama, I work out every day. And keeping my weight down isn't the only benefit. Working out every day, I joked with Joyce talking earlier, it keeps me positive, and I'm not like, I'm not a biatch. So I don't know. I know Mama Hughes don't want me cussing on her station.
Yeah, well, you're on Sirius.
Okay.
So you're safe for now.
Okay.
I hope I am. And what about you, Joyce? How did you first start to lose the weight?
Well, I joined the gym because I wanted an outlet to go to and something that would work on me internally. First of all, it wasn't about, in the beginning, about weight loss. It was about mental health. You know, I wanted to keep myself sane, because in that time period, I also was homeless. So the gym became a refuge for me. It was something that I turned to every day that was a constant. It kept me going. It kept me motivated. And even though I was on the treadmill running 0.5, I was still running. I was out of breath, and I was still doing it. So each week I would change it and add something else to it. So I'm one of those ones, like this lady with the Popeyes, that I skip meals all the time, because my digestion system has been measured by my doctor. It takes me about 5 hours to digest. So I can have one meal and be satisfied for the whole time. And I was exercising now 3 hours and eating one meal. Your body's like, hey, we got to balance this. We're not going to let go of any fat, because we don't know when you're going to feed us. So it was about coming into sync with having balanced meals and making myself eat even when I wasn't hungry. And that's what my doctor said. Even if you're not hungry, eat some nuts. Do something like that. So in trial, exercising and becoming regular with exercise, I go to the gym 6 days a week. I do yoga 6 days a week. I lift weights. I do cardio. So it's a balance in that. But what really kicked it for me, January, I asked God.
This January?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
I wanted to bring my faith and my fitness together, because I felt like they were separated. So I started to pray about it, and what was revealed to me was fasting, because I also had fasting in church. We fast. But I started fasting. I did a 14-day fast, water only, distilled water, cleansed my body, got rid of heartburn, anemia, and it was fabulous.
But let me ask you, because it's my understanding that you're social media played a part in this for you. How is that?
Well, social media for me is my connection. I was going to be transparent with the ups and downs of weight loss, because a lot of people are like, ta-da, I lost 100 pounds. All you got to do is stop eating. Hey, that ain't true. There's a lot in between that. So I wanted to show people the tears and the cheers. So I shared everything. If I was in the gym and I failed at lifting a weight, I showed it. And when I started yoga, if you look back at my social media, it was hilarious. I could barely breathe. I could barely get my leg over my head. I was dying trying to get in headstand, and I was forcing this stuff on myself. So as I develop more, and yoga makes you really connect to yourself, and you're competing with you. There's no competition. So you start to seek yourself and pushing your body to its level.
But how did that social media piece help you beyond just letting people know what you were doing?
When I saw that other people were reaching out to me and saying, thank you, you inspire me. Thank you. I'm so afraid to go to the gym because I'm a big girl and I get stared at. You know, but if you're sick, you go to the hospital. Nobody, they expect you to be there. And in the gym, you can be fat and you're there and everybody stares at you. But what I say, you're there for a reason. It's where you're supposed to be. And think about, have a plan when you go in. And who cares who's looking at you? Stick to your plan. Stick to your goals. So by me posting all of my exercise, posting everything I did, and people just clench into that. And if I don't post, they're like, okay, where are you? What's going on? What's mm-hmm. happening?
So they kept you honest.
Yeah, they kept, yes.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you were fasting, for 14 days?
I first started with 14. I did a 31, and I did a 40. So I did a 40-day because I just wanted to aim for what Christ had done. That was, mm-hmm. I did 31 because I know that my body, you could tell when you're fasting, you go through detox phases. You know, what happens is your tongue changed to white, your body is detoxing, you're exhausted some days. Some days you have energy over the moon. And what fasting has done for me, it changed like my mindset, those skipping meals. When I'm not fasting, I will be more consistent. Mm-hmm. I removed a lot of things from my diet, but I had done that before. But fasting really made me focus. Okay, I lost 100 pounds doing this. And when you fast, of course, you're going to gain some of that water weight back. But if you're balanced, you will not.
Dr. O, is that healthy?
No, because one of the things that Joyce mentioned earlier was that when she didn't eat, when she skipped meals, that she was really setting her body up to gain some of the weight back, to gain the weight back, because your body is holding on to fat, when you skip meals. So fasting, I don't recommend fasting without some nutrition. So if a person's going to fast, I would suggest that it be done from, you know, a lot of people do religious fast from sun up to sundown, and then after that you can eat something. You can drink water. Clearly, you have to do that.
Well, Dr. Rowe, I just wanted to say something. Fasting, I was actually on my 25th day. I saw my gastrointestinal doctor, and I saw my primary doctor. Didn't tell him mm-hmm. anything. So after my blood, they reviewed me. Everything was good, and they're like, wow, we're amazed. My gastrointestinal doctor, he himself recommend 21-day fasts. And fasting is something, they're looking at cancer being removed from the body, Parkinson's disease, heart, a high blood pressure being corrected, diabetes. Yes, it's maybe new now that people are talking about it, but it's not new.
But hold on for a second. I think when you talk about fasting, I think we need to define.
Yeah.
Because Joyce spoke about just water. You just spoke about sun up to sundown last week. Mm-hmm. One of our guests, he was also fasting during the day, but in the evening he was juicing with fruits and vegetables and also some kind of carbohydrate within that. So, you know, fasting is not just fasting. I think we should really define that.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So go ahead, Dr. Rowe.
So, yeah, I think it is important that you define it, because fasting for me would include definitely fruits and vegetables, whether it's in the form of juice or whether you're eating the whole fruit or vegetable. But it would definitely be that. And I've had clients do fruit and vegetable cleanses, and some people might consider that a fast because they were having that with water, and they might have some other form of carbohydrate, as you mentioned before. I mean, there's carbohydrate in all foods, but to go without food and to go without, you know, water, I mean, first of all, it isn't healthy to do it. But what I would say to you, Joyce, is I'm not trying to tell you what worked for you and what worked for your body. What I'm saying to you is that as a nutrition professional, I would not give just the public a blank check to go without food, period.
Yes, I agree with that. You need to, one, talk to your doctor, and you also need to know your own body. And it's, mm-hmm. you can do intermittent fasting where you're doing 12-8, you're eating between 12 and 8 and do that. Mm-hmm. And then I wouldn't recommend that anybody that never fasts go on a 5-day fast. You know, if mm-hmm. I have spiritually fast, and my church is always putting us on a fast, so I was very familiar with that. So the only part I wasn't familiar is extended fast. But there's plenty of research, you know, pro and con. Mm-hmm. But Dr. Fong, who is out there, he's working with patients who have diabetes.
Who is Dr. I don't know who Dr.
Fong. Dr. Fong, he's if you Google him, he's a kidney specialist.
Okay. Yes. I think we're going to deal with just the one doctor that we have for right now. But you were going to share something with us, Caroline, because
sure.
You've been kind of chomping at the bit.
Sure. So just regarding fasting, I'm a black woman. I've naturally lost over 150 pounds, and I've maintained it for almost 20 plus years. And just to add to that discussion, I've never really gotten into fasting. I found with fasting, when I did maybe try it once before going into a serious weight loss mission, is that when I starved my body from food, it was as if my body held on to fat as if it were a hostage because it didn't know when it was going to get its next meal. But to that I say is that for anyone listening to this that's thinking about beginning their weight loss journey, you have to realize that weight loss is not a one-size-fits-all approach. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of things in terms of genetics, family history, even the air you breathe, your environment that determines what works best for you. I hear a lot of people sometimes say things, you know, like my coworker's cousin's hairdresser tried this diet and it worked for her, but it didn't work for me. Again, weight loss is not monolithic. You have to find what works for you. And I'll just add to that is that be prepared. It's going to be a lot of trial and error finding what works for you. So be emotionally prepared for you. I'm prepared for that. And I can't reiterate it enough. A lot of it has to do with your self-talk, your thoughts. You're your number one cheerleader, but those individual cheerleaders you have around your life, those people that you have in your life right now, you ain't never going to lose no weight. You look good, big. You just big boned, whatever the heck that is. You got to limit them in your life. In some ways, you can't completely get rid of them, but you have to limit them. And just my last point is that, again, it's trial and error, finding what works for you, your budget. Be patient with yourself. Talk to yourself like you love yourself. Talk to yourself like you would talk to your grandmother. And that's my piece.
Thank you. Let me go to Felicia. Felicia calling from Capitol Heights. Thanks for calling, Felicia. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead, please.
Hi, Harold. This is Felicia.
Mm-hmm.
My story, I am 51 years old. At one time, I weighed 440 pounds. I now weigh 207 pounds. My body mass index was 51%. I was graduating from pills, glucophage, to all flat-out insulin twice a day. So now I got all this excess skin. I look fabulous, but I got this skin, and that's a problem because I don't want anybody to cut it off. I don't believe I can lose it. But I don't know. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Dr. Rowe, you know, that's a really important point because last week when we were talking to one of the guys, you know, he went from 300 pounds to 180. But he was a young man when he lost that weight. He was in his 20s. What about the 51-year-old Felicias of the world who have lost a lot of weight but are struggling with the excess skin?
Yeah, so the thing is, kudos to you, Felicia, for losing the weight and for, you know, getting your body to a healthy state because you've done a magnificent thing for yourself. Having said that, I understand your attachment the skin, it's your skin, but the real issue is when you lose, you know, 200 and 300 pounds, you know, when you lose that kind of weight, it's more likely that you're going to have a lot of excess skin. And the only way it's not going to snap back, because now you, by losing this, by gaining the weight, by gaining that level of weight, you've stretched the skin out and it's lost its elasticity to the extent that it could just go back to where it was before you gained the weight. And especially if you gain this weight over, you know, years, over decades perhaps, you know, it's just, the skin is just stretched to the point where the elasticity is that you don't have enough elasticity. So the only way to remove the excess skin is to remove it surgically.
Mm-hmm. And what about scarring? Because I know that is a concern for a lot of people.
I have a really good surgeon.
Yeah, I see. Yeah. Did you have that issue with skin, Caroline?
I did. So after I lost 150 pounds, I had a huge overlay of fat on my stomach. And a couple of other women that had children said it looked like I had a bad C-section. Mm-hmm. So I did have a tummy tuck 10 years ago. And like Dr. Rose said, it really depends on the surgeon so that your skin won't keloid. I had no issue with scarring. And Miss Felicia, get a tummy tuck. I get a tummy tuck. You'll walk past the mirror.
I did.
Oh, you did?
And guess what? Now that I had a tummy tuck.
What happened?
My breast went from a size 44 double deuce to a 38C. I look like I got chocolate chips inside of a mountain.
Oh, okay. So we're sisters then, because my breasts, that's the first thing that left. I still have APB out of form. So, I mean, you know, there are things that you can do about that, too. That's a decision you have to mm-hmm. make. And congrats on your weight loss. But I don't mm-hmm. have any regrets. I think it's a reward to yourself after putting in all that effort and sweat. See it as a reward to yourself.
I do. I don't have any regrets. I'm just personally tired of putting on Spanx up under everything to hold everything in place, because I wear one size that I order and I have to wind up getting another size because of the skin. So I get that pooch in the back. So that's all I'm saying.
So are we, does that mean that she may need some additional surgery or some additional work?
Probably. Dr. Rowe?
Yeah, it does mean that she probably needs some additional work. Mm-hmm. But I would say, you know, Felicia and to everyone listening, be patient with yourself.
Absolutely.
You know, I understand your frustration with having to order two sizes of clothes and, you know, having to do that workaround. But just think about the alternative. Look, girl, you're still here, okay? Mm-hmm. There are a lot of people who have been in your position who are not here to tell this story of being frustrated. So I would just say, first, be patient with yourself. And then, you know, think about next steps. What's the next right step for me? And if the next right step for you, the next best choice for you is to have the skin removed, then make a plan to do it. But in the meantime, you know, be patient with yourself, because you're still here. You deserve to be here. And, you know, you have to really love all of you. I've said this before. Harold, you've heard this before. You have to love all of you. You got to love even the parts you want to change. You have to love even the parts you want to change. And the reason is because every part of you are living, breathing cells, and those cells, believe it or not, have intelligence. So your body will work with you when you want to make change, but it will give you the opposite result if you stand in the mirror and say, I hate my thighs, I hate my belly, I hate my this. It's listening. All of those cells are listening. Mm-hmm. So be patient with yourself and love all of yourself, even the jiggly part.
Come on, Dr.
Well, Felicia, thank you so much, and good luck to you.
Can I say something?
Sure, real quick, go ahead.
Okay, one other thing. Before I got to fasting, I did do all of the traditional weight products like Weight Watchers and grapefruit and all of that stuff. But one of the other benefits I'm going to say about fasting is autophagy. What that means is your body eats itself, and you do not end up with sagging skin.
Yeah, but well, we can't always say that, because Felicia said she was 400 pounds.
She would have less.
And she's but I'm not sure when you're talking about going from when you lost 200 pounds and she's 51.
Yes.
You know, as Dr. Rose said, elasticity is an issue as it relates to not only genes, DNA, but also age.
Oh, well, true. All of that is true. Yeah. There's a true factors in all of that. I'm just saying it helps in reducing that factor. I'm not saying anybody needs to do a 40-day fast. I'm just saying even if you do little ones, not even for the weight loss benefit, for the health benefit of eating up the cells that are deformed that's in your body that's circling around, that type of stuff. But it has been proven that doing fasting, it will reduce the sagging skin. There are studies out there. You can look it up. Google's our best friend, and look it up. There are people that have lost 250 pounds and 300 and do not have as much as they would if they hadn't used fasting as a method with it. So I'm not just I'm not the fasting police, but I just want to highlight some of the benefits on that side, as well as the exercise, you know, lifting weights and things of that nature also helps with that.
How have how have your lives changed since this extreme weight loss? Caroline, I'll start with you. You were a very young woman when you were heavy. And I've seen the pictures, if I may. It looks like two different women. I would say the heavy you looks like your mother, a woman who could be your mother. Mm-hmm. And the smaller you looks like a woman who is much younger than you really are.
Uh-huh. Well, I like to think, first of all, that I'm still young. I haven't lost my Tinderoni status.
Right, well, and that's what I mean. Okay. I mean, how old are you now?
I'm 38.
See, in those pictures, I wouldn't have said 38. I would have said 30.
And I'm joking with you, but as you all talked about both mental health and social media, mm-hmm. first with social media, when I post before and after pictures of my weight loss, the comments are, "That's not you. You're lying. That woman is an older woman." And those pictures.
Well, there you go.
And those pictures, some of those pictures, again, I was 300 pounds in the eighth grade. Some of those pictures are from middle school and high school, and people think it's some people said I look like an old church woman in some pictures and pictures from high school and things like that. So those are some of the experiences that I'm having. But in this new life, my mental health and my resiliency, working out every day, eating healthy, things that would usually bother me or make the average person crumble, they just don't get me. Mm-hmm. And another part of that is, again, I spent a good part of my life being Heavy C, Fat Albert, all those different names. There's nothing that a person could say to me or call me right now that would probably make me break. But just in terms of keeping being very positive, that's the one thing I love most about myself. And I think the best compliment I've ever received, people always automatically go to, "Wow, you know, a lot of boys like you now," or "Your milkshake brings," I don't know. I don't know. But that's not the best compliment. The best compliment I've gotten was from a doctor that does perform bariatric surgery. I didn't have weight loss surgery, but he said, "Ms. Gingery, you're an African-American woman that has lost over 100 pounds naturally. You kept it off for 20 years. You are the 1%. I was like, I feel good. I feel special.
Real quick, Joyce, how has this changed your life? I've got about 30 seconds for you.
Well, it just enhanced my performance in the gym, enhanced my performance with my yoga and my stretching and my body. I was always a positive person, always a happy person, so it just enhanced that. What I think more is that it helped me to see other people and to help them through this process.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Rowe, 30 seconds. I'll let you have the final word.
You know, take care of yourself, but start by loving yourself. And check me out at everythingrowe.com, everythingro.com.
I want to thank all of you for coming in and sharing your stories, Joyce Ryan, Caroline Gingery, and, of course, Dr. Rowe. We're going to continue to talk about all of these health issues as we do our Medical Monday conversation, not just about weight loss, but health all the way around. So thank you all so much. Good health to both of you. Dr. Rowe, keep doing what you're doing.
You.
We'll be talking
always
to you soon.
Always a pleasure.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Monday, August 26th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for The Connection